Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today brings us to Jeremiah 21 and 22. We'll listen to our guest reader, Pastor Dave Love, read Jeremiah 21, and we'll listen to Faith Comes by Hearing's reading of Jeremiah 22. So let's begin with Pastor Dave Love in the 14 verses of chapter 21.
Jeremiah 21. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent to him Pashur, the son of Melchiah, and Zephaniah the priest, the son of Maaseiah, saying, "Inquire the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, is making war against us. Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all his wonderful deeds and will make him withdraw from us." Then Jeremiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to Zedekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands and with which you are fighting against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans who are besieging you outside the walls. And I will bring them together in the midst of this city. I myself will fight against you with outstretched hand and strong arm, in anger and in fury and in great wrath. And I will strike down the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. Afterwards, declares the Lord, I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants and the people in this city who survived the pestilence, sword, and famine into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, into the hands of those who seek their lives. He shall strike them down with the edge of the sword. He shall not pity them or spare them or have compassion. And to this people you shall say, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who stays in the city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out and surrenders to the Chaldeans who are besieging you shall live, and shall have his life as a prize of war. For I have set my face against this city for harm and not for good, declares the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And to the house of the king of Judah say, hear the word of the Lord, O house of David. Thus says the Lord, execute justice in the morning. Deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed, lest my wrath go forth like fire and burn with none to quench it, because of your evil deeds. Behold, I'm against you, O inhabitant of the valley, O rock of the plain, declares the Lord. You who say, who shall come down against us, or who shall enter our habitations? I will punish you according to the fruit of your deeds, declares the Lord. I will kindle a fire in her forest, and it shall devour all that is around her.
Jeremiah 22.
Thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah, and speak there this word, and say,
hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, who sits on the throne of David, you and your servants and your people who enter these gates. Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor him who has been robbed, and do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless and the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. For if you will indeed obey this word, then there shall enter the gates of this house kings who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their servants and their people. But if you will not obey these words, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus says the Lord concerning the house of the king of Judah, you are like Gilead to me, like the summit of Lebanon. Yet surely I will make you a desert, an uninhabited city. I will prepare destroyers against you, each with his weapons, and they shall cut down your choicest cedars and cast them into the fire. And many nations will pass by this city, and every man will say to his neighbor, why has the Lord dealt thus with this great city? And they will answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served them. Weep not for him who is dead, nor grieve for him, but weep bitterly for him who goes away, for he shall return no more to see his native land. For thus says the Lord concerning Shallum, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, who reigned instead of Josiah his father, and who went away from this place, he shall return here no more. But in the place where they have carried him captive, there shall he die, and he shall never see this land again. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness, and his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbor serve him for nothing, and does not give him his wages, who says, I will build myself a great house with spacious upper rooms, who cuts out windows for it, paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion. Do you think you are a king because you compete in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Is not this to know me, declares the Lord? But you have eyes and heart only for your dishonest gain, for shedding innocent blood and for practicing oppression and violence. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, they shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, my brother, or Ah, sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Ah, Lord, or Ah, his majesty. With the burial of a donkey he shall be buried, dragged and dumped beyond the gates of Jerusalem. Go up to Lebanon and cry out, and lift up your voice in Bashan. Cry out from Abarim, for all your lovers are destroyed. I spoke to you in your prosperity, but you said, I will not listen. This has been your way from your youth, that you have not obeyed my voice. The wind shall shepherd all your shepherds, and your lovers shall go into captivity. Then you will be ashamed and confounded because of all your evil. O inhabitant of Lebanon, nested among the cedars, how you will be pitied when pangs come upon you, pain as of a woman in labor. As I live, declares the Lord, though Coniah the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet ring on my right hand, yet I would tear you off and give you into the hand of those who seek your life, into the hand of those of whom you are afraid, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. I will hurl you and the mother who bore you into another country where you were not born, and there you shall die. But to the land to which they will long to return, there they shall not return. Is this man, Coniah, a despised broken pot, a vessel no one cares for? Why are he and his children hurled and cast into a land that they do not know? O land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord,
write this man down as childless, a man who shall not succeed in his days, for none of his offspring shall succeed in sitting on the throne of David and ruling again in Judah.
When reading Jeremiah 21 and 22 in 2016, I wrote in my personal Bible reading journal, ouch! These are words that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. They are harsh, unmerciful, devastating. I myself will fight against you with outstretched hand and strong arm in anger and fury and in great wrath. And that's according to verse 5 of chapter 21. Why do Christians say universally that he will never leave me nor forsake me? That may have been a promise to Joshua, but it is clearly not universal to all people. I'm looking at 21:10. For I have set my face against this city, for harm and not for good, declares the Lord. Babylon is used by God to take down Jerusalem, Judah, kings, and his people. Why? Because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshiped other gods and served them. Sounds like the USA today. So let's talk about forsaking for a moment. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, the Lord does say to Joshua, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Somehow, Christians take this, that I will never leave you nor forsake you, and say that that's always the case in their own lives. I don't happen to believe that because of these passages like we're reading in Jeremiah. I think throughout the Old Testament, God certainly forsakes his people. He says in chapter 21, verse 5 of Jeremiah, I myself will fight against you with outstretched hand and strong arm, in anger and in fury and in great wrath. If that's not enough, let's go on to verse 6. And I will strike down the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. Do I need to keep going? Let's look at verse 7. Afterward, declares the Lord, I will give Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants and the people of this city who survive the pestilence, sword, and famine into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those who seek their lives. He shall strike them down with the edge of the sword. He shall not pity them or spare them or have compassion. Jumping down to verse 10. The word of God says, For I have set my face against this city for harm, and not for good, declares the Lord. Now, I don't know what your definition is of forsaking, but it sure does sound like God is forsaking people right here. So as Christians, I think we need to be very careful when we say, God will never leave me nor forsake me. We have heard and read over and over in Jeremiah that God wants our obedience. He wants our allegiance, and when we don't do that, he very likely will forsake us. And we probably ought to go one step farther. If God said he will never forsake anybody, then why do people go to hell? Oh, I certainly believe God is a God of love. He would that none would perish, that all would come to saving faith in him. He admonishes us over and over to love him, obey him, keep his commandments, walk with him. But if we don't, I think there's plenty of places in Scripture where he forsakes us. There may be too many Christians who think that they can get away with living a lifestyle of however they want, thinking God will never forsake them because he, quote, has to forgive them. Friends, that's cheap grace. It dishonors what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for us. Here in Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 8 and 9, the word of God says, And many nations will pass by this city, and every man will say to his neighbor, Why has the Lord dealt thus with this great city? And they will answer, Because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshipped other gods and served them. When it comes to forsaking, we are guilty. Lord, forgive us for forsaking you. Forgive us for believing that you will never forsake us. Help us understand your true biblical principles. Though you are a God of great patience, of great love, of great mercy, and of great grace, your patience runs out on us. It ran out on your own people here in the book of Jeremiah, and you judge them. It too can wear out on us, and you will forsake us and judge us. To be sure you'll never forsake us, Lord, it's easy. Obey you, keep your commandments, love you, walk with you all the days of our lives. Holy Spirit, help me get a right understanding of you through the power of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.